Welcome to Life Saving Ministries and our second broadcast for 2021 here on 93.3 FM. This is Dr. John Paul and Minister Linda, and we will be studying a very special topic this week. Our topic will cover power, love, and sound minds. I think you're really going to enjoy what you're about to hear. We will be studying our first segment in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and today is specifically in chapter 2 and 3. But before we begin, let's bow in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come now with humble hearts before your throne of grace, seeking your favor and insight into your divine and holy word. We ask you to fill our hearts and minds with your spirit and enable us to clearly apply your word to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, your son, to amplify your thoughts and guidance during this special time in our lives and of the needs that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we get into our actual physical study of Scripture, I'd like for you to listen to a very special selection of music by the Gaither Vocal Band, and it's entitled, Loving God, Loving Each Other. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the story never ends but we tend to not spend time in God's Word and heed His story that He wants us to hear. And one of those special instances that I'd like for us to center our attention on this week is found in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 13, and we will reference chapter 2 in this study. Now, if you'll follow me as we read the Word together, as we will quickly observe from the study, Paul, the chosen apostle of God, was selected to carry the gospel message to the Gentiles. That's us. And that we were included in the same body of believers as the Jews are, and fellow heirs to the promises of eternal life, that's salvation, through Jesus Christ. Now, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you or toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made of the minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul was chosen specifically to go unto the Gentiles. But you've got to remember, now Paul was an Orthodox Jew. He was trained under Gamaliel in Jerusalem, and he spent all his time and effort as a young man learning the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And he memorized it word for word. He lived and guided his entire life by the word. But he was misled by what the Jewish people had intended for him to do. And as God saw it, Paul was chosen to do something far greater than the destruction of the Jewish converts to Christianity and those who believed in Christ Jesus as the Messiah. You know, I would like for you to look back now at a part of this scripture, and I want to emphasize something in verse 1. It says, for this cause or for this reason, Paul, on behalf of the Gentiles, have made or have heard the stewardship of Jesus Christ. What was this thing that Paul was talking about? Let's look back in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And it says, beginning with verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that means the Jewish people, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. As we saw in these scriptures of Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 14, it says that the Gentiles were considered uncircumcised, meaning they were alienated because of two important points. And so many people tend to miss why the Gentiles were thought this way. First of all, their social standing among the Jews. They were considered outcasts, objects of derision and reproach. They were just set aside as worthless. And then in spiritual, there were five ways that they were thought of as alienated. A, separated from Christ, the Messiah, having no Savior. B, the commonwealth of Israel. God's chosen people, the Jews, received a special blessing, but that would come to change. C, strangers to God's covenant of promise, both to the land, priesthood, a people, a nation, and a kingdom and king. Four, or D, they had no hope because they had never been given a divine promise. And then finally in E or 5, they had never recognized God as the one and only God of this world. They had several gods. But in verse 13, he says, but now, once you were afar off, Gentiles were apart from God. As it said in Acts 2:39, Peter told the people, for the promises unto you, Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We as sinners have all sinned against the Lord God. We have been afar off. We have been away from God and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be called out of this far land into the kingdom of God. But we must heed that conviction, that calling that God has made unto us. If we don't, we will fail and things will happen to us. Salvation is from the Lord God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 29, I'd like for you to turn there. Let's look back starting at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Verse 29 now. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yet we establish the law. God has pointed out to us through Paul's writing to the Roman church that we are saved as Gentiles through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He justifies us by our faith in him. Now, it says back in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, something very special. Read this carefully. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We must learn to forgive others as he has forgiven us. He has gone to the cross. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to bear our sins forever. And those who would come to the foot of the cross and ask forgiveness and seek his favor and seek him to come into their lives will be saved, and their sins will be forgiven. They may even be called and to be ministers of the gospel itself. So then how can we say something against those who have been called, especially those who have been called to come into His church and become part of His body? One of my most favorite scriptures is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And it says, read carefully, "It's for by grace that ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Notice that. It's a gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's right, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. When we're called unto salvation and we receive Christ as our Savior, it is a gift. And what is a gift? It is something that we must receive and open up. It doesn't cost anything. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to do anything for it. But as it says in verse 10, we're created then because of our love for Christ to work, to share in the love of Christ with others. As we heard in that song at the very beginning with the Gaither Vocal Band, love one another, love each other, reach out with that same love through the faith in Christ and share the gospel with others. I'd like to stop for a moment and let you listen to a special selection of music by the Cathedrals. And it says, "I Can See the Hand."
When I look at the moon and stars in the sky,
I can see the hand of the Father.
In the valley so deep and river so wide,
I can see the hand of the Father.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice.
Oh, within the wind, I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere I go,
thundering rain and whispering breeze,
I can hear the voice of the Father.
I can see the hand.
Oh, isn't that right, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's the hand of God upon us. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, "But God being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ, because of His hand upon us. It was by grace you've been saved, and you've been raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and the kindness towards Jesus Christ." But now let's look on at our original scripture in chapter 3, and let's return there for a moment before our time runs out. As I told you from the very beginning, Paul was chosen to go into the Gentiles, even though he had been strictly raised in the Jewish traditions and the ritualistic lifestyle of the Orthodox Jewish religion. He was very adamant about going after the Christians and those who were converted from the Jewish belief into Christianity. But God came to him specifically on the road to Damascus. He even blinded him for 3 days to get him to understand that he had been chosen for a specific purpose, and that was to go out into the world and to convey the gospel message, as we too have been selected to do. It said in verses in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 4, whereby when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul many things that he conveyed to us in his letters and his written message of the gospel, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. I want to stop there, and I want to read you something from 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, 16. And I want you to listen carefully. In verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up before times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, don't bring that wrath upon God by failing to follow the conviction that he's placed upon your hearts and minds. Now, as I close out segment one, before Minister Linda comes to bring her message, I'd like for you to listen to Carol Robertson as he brings a very special message in music to us today. Listen to Who Am I by Carol Robertson.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so, and to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Who am
I? When I'm reminded of his word, I'll leave thee never. Just be true.